Bickley and Murata, Social Studies.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello, fellas.
Hello.
How are you guys doing?
Good. You're on the Lenny and Squiggy show. Reference went right over Cazella.
Yeah, that's okay.
I like trying to do the hormone monster from Big Mouth.
Oh, what's it gonna do? That's showbiz, baby.
It's like the only one that I kind of get in the ballpark.
Yeah. This kid is a genius.
How are you guys doing today?
Your voice is
perfect
really
for now.
Right for that, for that particular impersonation.
I apologize. Somebody on Twitter, our friend JJ, said that I sound like a PSA for an anti-smoking campaign.
I don't know.
And it kind of does.
I kind of dig it, though. Gives you a little bit more gravity. Right. Not that you need it anymore, but it's like you are going to hang on to every word
it
I say.
It could be the next gravelly-voiced sports radio phenomenon.
Wow. Exactly. We have to have at least one of them.
Yes.
How are you guys doing today?
Oh, couldn't be better.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah.
Nice to know that there's a week off, too. At least
it kind of is. I mean,
we're still working, but
yes and no.
It's a little bit easier.
It's nice to get the break, just to unwind a little bit. But there's that "don't disturb this groove" kind of philosophy too.
Yeah, and there's also sort of like a withdrawal thing going on too.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, it'll be back soon enough. I'm sure this week will pass pretty quickly. We are asking. Well, you know, the Suns have the Jazz or the Clippers coming up. We still don't know. I believe it's a 2-1 lead for Utah in that series right now, and they play again tonight starting at 7.
And no Mike Conley tonight for the Jazz. It's official.
That's right. So has he missed every game now of this series?
In this series,
because of his hamstring?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, we are asking, would you rather the Suns have the Jazz in the Western Conference Finals or the Clippers, and why?
Yeah, it's such a tricky question. I am going to go ahead and vote the Jazz, even though the Jazz would have home field advantage. I just don't like what the matchup... I just don't like what the Clippers do when they play the Suns. Paul George, and whatever he's got going on with Devin Booker, he just seems to play really well against the Suns. I'm going to just roll with the Jazz. I think that's the series that was meant to be, and I think the Suns can handle it.
Yeah, I'm going to lean that way, too, with everything that Bick said. Even though the home court advantage would belong to Utah, I don't feel great about saying it, but I'm finally leaning in a direction.
Yeah, and either way, I mean, it's the Western Conference Finals. There's not going to be a cakewalk either way. So I believe it was what the Suns went 3-0 against the Jazz in the regular season and then lost two of the three matchups against the Clippers in the regular season. So I'm sure that helped influence some of our voters right now. It is 69% of our voters saying they would rather see the Jazz than the Clippers. 31% want to see the Clippers. And a lot of people did mention that home court advantage if they were to play LA. Chris Lewis responds, the Jazz, he wants to see the Suns play the Jazz. They are terrific, but they do not have Kawhi Leonard, who has proven he can carry a team to the end.
That is correct.
At the Lobos Are Coming says, seeing the Jazz in person get beat down by the Suns was really nice. They don't look impressive at all. We will see about that. And then Christopher Joy says, the way I look at it, playing LA brings the media and the ratings. Everybody will pick the Clippers over Phoenix, and that will fuel the Suns. Do you think that would happen in a Suns-Clippers Western Conference Finals, that people still would pick against Phoenix?
I think there'd be some. I don't think it would be as widespread as what we saw in the first round against the Lakers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, shout out to Bobby Marks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The lone holdout on the ESPN panel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're moving on to our next question. Speaking of that Lakers series, before the playoffs got started, end of regular season / start of the playoffs, at that point, did you think that the Suns legitimately could make it this far to the Western Conference Finals? This is just a yes or no question.
Yeah, I did. And this is the benchmark that I set as a great accomplishment for the course of the season. And I said that a while ago. I'm not that surprised. I think that they put together a team that made a lot of sense even before the season began. So I'm not surprised. I'm certainly glad it happened, but I'm not surprised.
Yeah, I did. I brought this up on the Crosstalk segment with Doug and Wolf this morning. I mean, they're the number two seed.
Yeah.
If you just go strictly by seedings and everything remains chalk, they should be in the Western Conference Finals.
Mm-hmm.
But what they've done has, you know, the fashion in which they've advanced to this point has encouraged me even more about their chances.
Certainly. It is, let's see, 63% now. It keeps moving. 63% of our voters who said no, they did not think the Suns would get this far. But I think some are also assuming from the start of the regular season, which I wouldn't have thought either.
Look, so, I mean, in the playoff, the first series against the Lakers was a roller coaster ride. So
no kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah. On to our next question. Quickly, you guys touched on this a couple segments ago, but looking back at Jokic's ejection yesterday, making contact with Campaign's face while he was swinging at the ball, do you believe that it should have been called flagrant one versus flagrant two? Do you think the correct call was made?
Yeah, to me, there's no question that he deserved to be ejected from that game. It was so, it was just so violent and so non-basketball-like that, yeah, I don't think there's really any other outcome that makes any sense to me.
And I haven't made this point yet, and I have said that I agreed with the call. But we also see a barrage of common fouls in the NBA that get elevated to flagrant ones, which I don't agree with. So I don't know why everybody's so shocked that a flagrant one was with that windup was elevated to a flagrant two. I mean, they do officiate cautiously now for those reasons. So I was a little bit surprised, but not totally shocked by it.
Okay, 54% of our voters thought it was a flagrant one. 46% said flagrant two. Big Palpy said Jokic made a play on the ball, but it was clearly a reckless effort, mentioning the wind-up contact, follow-through, etc. He calls it a flagrant two. Suns Gnome says, let anybody who claims it was not a two take that hit to the face.
Like Getty Johnson said.
And see how they feel. Yeah. Just because Jokic was frustrated doesn't mean it was not a foul.
Mm-hmm.
And then I really appreciate this from Mr. Benitez Sr. He says, nobody touches Cam Payne. Instant ejection, no video review. He's lucky he didn't get jail time.
Yeah.
I have to agree with that, Mr. Benitez. And quickly wrapping up today's edition of Social Studies, now that the Suns have disposed of the Denver Nuggets, we need your take. What is the best dipping sauce for a good chicken nugget?
Ooh, for a good chicken nugget.
I mean,
there are differences.
Oh, right. Yeah.
What are you? Ranch, barbecue, honey?
My mood changes. I'm not a honey mustard guy. I have done it before. It's either barbecue or ranch, or depending on the establishment, one of their house sauces, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe a good chili paste for me.
Mmm.
Something spicy.
Chocolate syrup. I'll eat anything.
Ew. Yeah.
Whipped cream, nacho cheese,
ketchup, jalapeno. Chipotle mayo.
A lot of people have their one specific fast food place, and only the one sauce that they will get from there, and that's the only way they will consume their chicken nuggets, which I didn't realize there was such a loyalty situation.
I've had that sauce. I know what you're talking about. It's good.
Hot mustard is the most popular response.
Really?
I thought it was gonna be like ranch, maybe honey mustard.
Hot mustard better
sauce.
Than honey mustard. Again,
no, honey I love mustard. Honey mustard. That's my jam.
I'm happy for the two of you. But,
jam. Jelly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just got hungry for chicken nuggets all of a sudden.
Yeah. Who wants to drop us off some chicken nuggets?
Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks, Sarah.
Social Studies every day at 1 o'clock with Sarah Cazell. You can follow along and get involved on Twitter at @Bickley_Murata. Coming up next, more on the Suns Nuggets series. And we are efforting, cross fingers, to be joined by one of the winningest coaches in the history of the NBA to break down the series. George Karl, hopefully joining us next here on Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Suns playoff coverage presented by Four Peaks Kilt Lifter. The home of the Suns run to the championship. 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station and the Arizona Sports app. The Suns sweep the Nuggets in four.
And the Suns are going to move on to the Western Conference Finals.
Bickley and Murata talk Suns Nuggets now.
Yeah, our next guest coached the Denver Nuggets for 9 seasons. He's now an analyst for the Nuggets for our sister station up in Denver, 104.3 The Fan. He's also the 6th winningest coach in the history of the NBA, and he joins us now on the Coulter Automotive Group Sportsline. It's our pleasure to welcome Coach George Karl to the show. Coach Karl, thanks so much for the time today. How are you?
I'm good. Enjoying the hot, sunny day here in Denver and watching great NBA basketball. It's fun.
Wait, what does hot and sunny mean in Denver on June 14th?
We got a different definition here,
Coach.
Well, it's 98 degrees here today, and I was on the golf course, so I was feeling it a little bit.
All right, so it's still manageable. Okay. We got like 117 for six days straight here.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Saw your tweet to start off the conversation talking about the Suns team having a little magic in them. Is this a team that looks like it could run this whole thing and win a championship, Coach?
I am a fan. I wouldn't bet on them right now. I'd like to see the first couple games of the next round. But I really like how they're put together, and I like where their mentality is. Monty's got them playing with tremendous intensity and focus. Chris Paul is a maestro of orchestrating good players and making them great. And something that doesn't get talked about a lot is that they're a very good defensive basketball team. Ayton did a hell of a job on Jokic. Crowder is a pain in the butt, whoever he covers. And they have tremendous confidence in each other. They help each other, but they believe in each other. And I've always felt in the NBA playoffs, it's usually the second round or maybe the first 3 or 4 games of the championship of the conference is where the team finds that magic, that trust, mm-hmm. that belief in each other. And I saw some of that last night. You know, Denver tried very hard to win that game. And one time it was Chris Paul. He said, "You're not going to do it." Then it was Booker. Then it was their defense. Whatever buttons that Monty Williams pushes, you know, it seems like they're working. Now, that could change in the next round. It always gets a little more difficult. And they're a young team that hasn't been here before. But I think in a little bit of I kind of believe in karma. And I just think Chris Paul might be having this positive karma because he deserves it. He's a hell of a player. He's a great player. He's been a great player for 15 years now. So they're my favorite right now.
Oh, that's great. Now, few people can appreciate a point guard like Chris Paul than a former coach or a current coach because of what he does. If you were to describe what a coach sees in terms of what Chris Paul gives this team, how would you do it?
Well, he makes the game easy. The second thing he does, he knows where the game should go because he has instincts in the area of how the team operates, just not how he operates. And then he has this asset that if he wants to be a scorer, he might be the most prolific scorer on the Phoenix Suns. You know, I know Booker's good, but Chris Paul's really good too. And so there's just an added asset to his ability to score points. And as I said, Monty, I think, has done a good job with the young kids. I liked Bridges last year, but I love him this year. Ayton, I never thought I would say this, but I thought he played Jokic fairly equal in the whole series. Mm-hmm. And he was very bright and very basketball IQ smart in reading how to play it. And he was really, really – I've seen everybody try to stop Jokic. And Ayton didn't stop Jokic, but he made him work to get what he got.
Yeah. George Karl, our guest here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Going back to your point, Coach, on Chris Paul and choosing when – picking his spots on being a prolific scorer, he certainly did that in Game 4 last night when he hit those 9 mid-range jumpers between the second and third quarters. Were you a little surprised that there wasn't more in terms of massive adjustments on how Denver was guarding Chris Paul on those plays?
Yeah, I can't deny that the drop is not the way I think you play Chris Paul. I think you got to give him some different looks in different ways. The drop can be maybe one of the ways you play him, but I think with all great point guards, you got to mix it up a little bit. You got to put different people on him, and you also got to put different concepts on him. And when he just got control of that game in the beginning of the third quarter, which he's already done now 2 or 3 times in games 1, 2, and 3, I was surprised that they didn't try to disrupt him somewhat. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe jump double him a little bit more, maybe get physical with him a little bit more. But again, you know, I think Denver kind of ran out of gas, both physically and emotionally. And when Jokic got thrown out of the game, I think it just kind of shut. They didn't shut down. I respected how hard they tried to play, and they stayed in the game. But did anyone ever think that the game was in doubt?
No.
I didn't think so. I thought Phoenix had total control of the game.
You mentioned the magic that the Suns are starting to show. They're a team that they're exceptional in their ability to share the basketball willingly and selflessly. What is that magic? What is the power that a basketball team has when the ball never sticks, Coach?
The big thing that people don't understand that when you play the game well and you play it like Phoenix is playing it now, it feels like when you're playing against them, it feels like they got 6 guys on the team. Mm-hmm. It seems like they always have someone open. And they always have a defender in your face. And it just comes by, you know, staying connected in the game, staying focused on the concepts, and being committed to doing your job. What I saw in Denver a lot was a lot of individual basketball play. And Phoenix has individual basketball play, but it's usually Chris Paul or Booker leading that, and everybody trusts them. They trust them to get us a good shot. They trust us. They trust them to make the right play, and they trust them that they will make it a team game where everybody shares in the success.
Mm-hmm. Coach, thanks so much for coming on the show today and breaking it down a little bit with us. We really appreciate your time.
Well, enjoy 117. I'm sure glad I'm not down there.
Yeah. Hit him straight, George.
Yeah, you definitely want to come in the spring, Coach. Definitely the spring.
Okay, guys. Enjoy your day.
All right, appreciate it. You too. Coach George Karl, our guest here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Coulter Nissan, west of the hassle. Visit coulternissan.com. Coming up next, should a lot of those voters who voted for Nikola Jokic for MVP feel a little bit silly today? We'll get into that next. It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Suns playoff coverage presented by Four Peaks Kilt Lifter, the home of the Suns' run to the championship. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station, and the Arizona Sports app. The Suns sweep the Nuggets in 4.
And the Suns are going to move on to the Western Conference Finals.
Bickley and Murata talk Suns Nuggets now.
And Mikal Bridges gets the rebound, and now here's another foul.
That's totally frustrating.
Yes,
now Jokic is trying to get Devin Booker out of the game.
Yeah.
Jokic took a swipe at Cameron Payne because of his frustration with the way DeAndre Ayton's played extremely well. And again, he just chested up against Jokic. Jokic misses the shot and takes a frustration swipe at Cameron Payne,
who's still on the floor.
And then he went at Devin Booker.
Well, the officials have got their work cut out for them right now, that's for sure. And
Jokic is out of the game.
Well, he should be, but
yeah, he wound up, took a swipe.
Yes, it's best. I don't know. It is. It happens. So it's probably true, or it's not true. We are not going to change it. So it is what it is.
Yeah, it all happened yesterday in Game 4, won by the Suns 125-118. Some people will argue that changed the complexion of the game. You could certainly make that argument when you lose your best player and MVP. Your chances to win will be decreased. I thought the Nuggets played harder without Nikola Jokic on the floor. They actually outscored the Suns without Nikola Jokic on the floor.
Yeah.
But you said something earlier in the show, Bick, and Jokic, yeah, he did apologize on the court to Cameron Payne before he left the floor. You hear him there say, hey, they're not going to change it. It is what it is. What you said is absolutely true. He's going to wear this one for a while.
Yep.
His play was not great in this series. We just had George Karl on, and he said, I thought DeAndre Ayton, I never thought I'd say this, but he played him equal in this series. And that's one of those things we talked about going into this series, that if that happened, major advantage Suns. And the numbers bear that out. I mean, this was the lowest shooting percentage Nikola Jokic has ever had in a playoff series, lowest three-point percentage, lowest free throw percentage. His scoring average was down 8 points per game from the first round. So he is going to wear that for a while. The fact that in an elimination game, you as the team leader and best player on the team, you're not there for your team to finish things out because of your own frustration. Those are all facts. And I can't still, Bick, with a straight face, sit here and say that Nikola Jokic is not deserving of the MVP, because over the course of 72 games, he proved that.
Yeah.
But the gap between Chris Paul and his value to his team and Nikola Jokic and his value to his team was remarkably one-sided in favor of Chris Paul. And I said it last week, and I will continue to say this. Chris Paul was completely snubbed in not getting a top, being number five in the MVP voting.
Yeah, listen, I went into this series and my feeling was that Nikola Jokic earned his MVP trophy, and I was just kind of alarmed at how little perspective and insight the MVP voters showed for the season Chris Paul had. Because it was all there right in front of you. For anyone who took 5 minutes to look into what Chris Paul has done for this basketball team, it was right there in front of you. I came out of the Western Conference semifinals going, Nikola Jokic is not the most valuable player. Now, that's not necessarily fair.
No.
But that's how I feel.
I felt that too. We were having the discussion off the air.
Yep.
There was obviously plenty of moments in the Suns series against the Lakers where you're just bracing for a barrage, whether it was from Anthony Davis when he was healthy or from LeBron James. And the Suns did a nice job of mitigating both of those. And yeah, of course, Davis, didn't finish the series with the injury. I never felt like the MVP fear from a Suns standpoint from Nikola Jokic in this series. He put up decent numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, his stat line on Friday night in Game 3 was historic. They still lost. Never really felt like he had his grip on this series.
No, and as you said, every time you watched him, there was nothing really to fear. It wasn't like you were watching the Lakers series and going, okay, when is LeBron going to take over?
Mm-hmm.
I never felt that way. And again, I respect the fact that Nikola Jokic runs that offense. I respect the fact that he can distribute very well. He can score really well around the rim. There was so little impact on those games that he caused or had that it really made me think, man, they really messed up this MVP.
Yeah.
They really, really did. Especially when you look at the way Joel Embiid is performing now for Philadelphia. And again, it's all good.
It's a
regular season award. Nikola Jokic did fabulous things for that team. But look, props to DA to do what he did against the Lakers, which was a lot. And we asked him, stay in the game, defend the rim without fouling. And he was really able to do that. And like, whoa, okay. But now you've got Nikola Jokic. And as you pointed out going into the series, DA had a comfort level playing against Nikola Jokic because he's had success against him. I think DA took this one to the next level. And I think a lot of big men in the NBA now are a little bit freaked out at what they're getting from DeAndre Ayton now.
I think so, too. I saw this number this morning in my show prep. In his first two primary matchups this postseason, this is Ayton, against Jokic and Anthony Davis, he's held them to 35 of 88 from the floor. That's 39.8% shooting.
Wow.
I believe this is from The Athletic. Those are arguably the two best offensive bigs in the league. That's as tough as it gets for a young center in his first playoff run. And he's been undaunted.
And I think Nikola Jokic losing his mind was not just the fact that an MVP winner was about to get swept. I just think he just lost his mind at the fact that that DeAndre Ayton was just there bumping up against him, making life difficult. And the numbers Nikola Jokic put up in the series would suggest that he had a decent series, but that's not what it looked like to me.
No, I agree. That's one case where you look at the numbers and they tell one story, and watching the game tells a different story. I think you're right. I think that was a four-game accumulation of frustration on the way he was being defended, which was very well by DeAndre Ayton, but also on the way that he was being officiated because DeAndre Ayton played such great position defense.
Yeah, and so Nikola Jokic is then now looking to the refs to bail him out. And that's what I think led to all of that. So props to DA, man. He really, really stepped up. And Chris Paul, at the end of this whole thing, if you're an MVP voter who did not have Chris Paul in your top five and there was 49 of them, I hope you feel shame this morning, because you should.
Shame.
Shame. Shame.
Da-ding, da-ding.
Right.
Shame.
That's pretty good.
All right, coming up next, we'll close out our show by opening the doors to Burns and Gambo for a little Suns playoff roundtable next. Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Suns playoff coverage presented by Four Peaks Kilt Lifter. Suns playoff crosstalk.
Suns playoff crosstalk.
Burns and Gambo join Bickley and Murata to talk Suns playoffs.
Yeah, a little bit of a respite right now for the Phoenix Suns after they take care of their business in very efficient manner, sweeping the Denver Nuggets out of the playoffs. They are the first team through to the conference finals in either conference. Now they get to sit back and wait on the Utah Jazz or the LA Clippers as their next opponent. It's Bickley and Murata here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. And as we do day after games, before we hand things off to Burns and Gambo, we welcome them into the Ok Chin Community Studio.
We'll be doing this for a while.
For a little crosstalk. Yeah,
yeah, you're
get
right.
Get some time off from doing this.
A few more weeks at least.
Yeah.
Suns in four!
Yeah, speaking of our Suns in four guy, Gambo, you ever mess up a guy like that guy did?
Yeah, quite a few times. Once in a movie theater when I had the high ground.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to lose when you have the high ground.
No,
when you're low, it's a lot harder to punch up.
What were you fighting over?
Just a bunch of, in a movie theater, just a bunch of annoying people in front of us. I can't make it. Hey, can you please be quiet? We're trying to watch the movie. And then after, we had a big, big scuffle after that. But I've been in so many brawls like that. So I gave him a first-round TKO. I scored it first-round TKO.
Yeah.
Some people said he might have been arrested. I'm like, for what? Like, what was he arrested for? The guy threw a punch at him first.
But
self-defense, right?
You still can't do that. Now, it was incredibly impressive. I said this on the
Why can't you do that?
I said this on the pregame show yesterday.
It's called the law, but I don't know. I could be totally
he
wrong.
He throws a punch at me, and I can't punch him back.
I'm sure they both were dealt with. I've never seen, and I've seen a lot of stadium fights, the videos that come out, and they go viral. Yeah. I've never seen one individual look so in command and cool while doing that. I mean,
taunting the other guy,
telling him what he's going to do to his buddy, then delivering a shot to him, and then going with the uppercut, and then ending it with the Suns in four. There's a reason why Devin Booker is starting this manhunt to try to find this guy.
Is that guy in jail right now, yes or no?
He might be.
Yes or no?
You saw the police coming in. It's possible.
Yeah,
possible.
They took their sweet time getting there, by the way.
Now, how would you rate that performance with the Padre fan who knocked out the Rockies fan? Remember that one punch dude?
Yeah. That was better.
Yeah. So as Vinny pointed out,
because this guy did throw like eight or nine punches.
That's true.
That, I mean, a kid wasn't. He threw a bunch of punches, and a kid he was still able to walk out of the place on his own. On his own.
And both
with
of these,
his pants
he
lacked
his
a little power in the right hand.
Yeah.
He lacked a little bit of power.
Right.
He got a lot of punches in, but man, if you hit a guy that many times in a row without him hitting back,
let's go down to ringside.
He should be,
Larry Martin.
He should be sleeping.
How would Harold Letterman?
I added first round TKO for the Suns and four fan. I thought he dominated the fight, Larry. He was able to control the uppercut, and the other kid just quit. Right there, he just quit. What, first round TKO, Larry.
That's good. That's really good.
Harold Letterman, back to you. ShopRite Pharmacy.
That's almost as good as your Bill Walton, Gambo.
God.
Here's the other thing. Both these incidents we're talking about happened to Denver fans.
Yeah.
Denver fans.
Right? Getting pummeled in their own stadium since 2021.
not exactly the hotbed of, angry, passionate sports fans, right? Denver? Man. I mean, come on. It's not
the hotbed of baked out sports fans.
That's exactly what it is.
Not like it was New York dude or Chicago dude or anything like that. It was Denver dude. What? Huh?
What a performance by the Suns, though. Where do you want to start on
Chris Paul?
Yeah, I mean,
Chris Paul. How much money did he make himself with that series?
It was remarkable.
Idiots that were saying, "Oh, he's going to opt out for 3 years and 60." I'm like, "No, trust me. There's not a snowball's chance in hell he's going to turn 44 into 60 over two more years." If he opts out, he's going to get a lot more than 60. He's going to get 90.
It's going to be 90 to 100.
Yeah. I mean, and listen, was anybody going to deny he's worth every single penny?
No.
I haven't ever seen anything like that. No. I mean, you guys are longer Suns fans. Have you ever seen anybody just dominate a basketball game the way he did? They were showing today on SportsCenter the one spot. I'm going to go to the spot. I'm going to hit shot. And they couldn't stop him.
There was that part of it. We just had George Karl on, too, and he admitted, they probably should have made a couple more adjustments defensively on how they were handling Chris Paul because it was the same thing. You could see just the drop by Jokic. No challenge on the shot, but by the time Chris Paul got around that second screen, I mean, it's basically a layup. I couldn't believe they never adjusted.
I couldn't believe they never adjusted to it either. He was so good yesterday, and it was so comforting to know that no matter how wonky that game was starting to get, how uncomfortable that game was starting to get in little pockets. I mean, not like big stretches of discomfort, but these little pockets of, here they come again.
Yep.
And every single time, man, he would just come down and he would soothe every single fear and every single concern by getting that little spot on the right elbow and doink, just knocking down a little 16-footer single time.
All nine of those that he hit between the end of the second quarter and in the third quarter, there was nine straight shots that he made. The Suns' lead, Gambo, was never more than seven on any of those possessions. So they needed every one of those points in those circumstances.
I was floored by just how stupid the Nuggets were on all of those. I mean, the reason why you kind of go on top of the screen is you want to chase him so he doesn't knock down a three.
Yeah.
You know, and he's not going to knock down a three. I mean, so why not go under the screen and try to beat him to that spot? I never understood what they were doing.
No, I
like you would
say
go
this.
On top of the screen, and then you're chasing him to his spot, and you're always behind him. If you go under the screen, at least you can say, okay, I know where he's going to go. And then you just go under the screen and try to race to that spot and beat him. Their defense was terrible.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I'll put this out there, and you guys can react to it. I don't want to take away anything from what the Suns did, what Chris Paul did, Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, Monty Williams, the whole crew. I thought Michael Malone coached a horrible series. And I know they weren't favored to go in and beat the Suns, but without Jamal Murray. But, man, they did nothing right, I think, from a strategic standpoint.
Yeah, just like Frank Vogel coached a terrible series.
I agree with that, too.
And so this is, I think, some of it is a byproduct of Monty being a step ahead of these guys, and that's a credit to him.
I was thinking about that, wondering how much is Monty forcing these guys to coach terrible series. I mean, in the sense that, okay, here's we're at a poker table. Here's the hand that I've got. My five cards in my hand are better than your cards, and I'm going to play it. And it forces you into doing dumb things, making bad decisions, doing things you wish you hadn't or couldn't or shouldn't. And I understand exactly what you're saying. And the starting lineup changes were way too late. They had to make that much, much sooner in the series. I don't know if it would have made a ton of difference.
What about his choice of language after game one and two?
Yeah.
Is soft, we quit. I mean, what are you trying to do? I think every button he pushed.
You knew you weren't going to win. You knew they were the better team.
I guess
you were trying to
maybe it was initial desperation
that wasn't there. Trying to inspire, it was desperation. You don't want to go that route. But he chose to go that route. I think he realized early that I mean, look at that. Look at that disparity in the guard play. My goodness.
Barton,
like, you know, yeah, he should have went to Barton and Murray earlier.
Morris.
Morris. He should have went to those guys earlier. But Barton wasn't ready to play any major minutes those first two games.
No.
So who should Suns fans be cheering for? What is the better
knows? It's such a hard choice.
I agree.
Seven games.
Yeah, there you go. Right. That's what you cheer for.
Cheering for seven games.
Every take I've got on it is based on the regular season, and I just don't know if that applies anymore. You know, I don't know if what we saw in the regular – because what we saw in the regular season says you should want the Utah Jazz in the next round because the Clippers gave the Suns problems. Those wings gave the Suns problems during the regular season.
Yep.
But that was before – this, right? That was before the Suns kind of playing to the peak of their powers and the peak of their abilities. So is that worth the trade-off of home court? And look, guys, selfishly, wouldn't a Suns-Jazz series just be all kinds of epic for 2 weeks?
I think that Paul George and Kawhi Leonard's ability to play defense on Booker is just, you know, the Jazz don't have that ability to play great defense on the Suns' guards.
Mm-hmm.
The Clippers do.
Yes.
So I don't want the Clippers. I've never wanted the Clippers because they've got two great defensive players who are wings, but who can also give you height and length and guard Booker and Paul.
And I agree with that. And the higher the stakes, the better Kawhi Leonard tends to be. And here's the other thing that I believe. If you're playing the Clippers and the Suns know, okay, we've gotten this far, but this team has kind of gotten into us a couple of times. I don't mind starting the Western Conference Finals on the road, even in Salt Lake City, because the pressure is going to be on the Jazz to defend, and I think the Suns are built to go and steal a game. That's where I'm leaning right now.
Yeah.
I'd want the Jazz.
I see the point on the wings being able to clamp down defensively, but, I mean, they're not exactly clamping down on Donovan Mitchell. He's averaging 37 points per game in this series.
And how about yesterday?
I mean, he still got his 30. I think he was compromised a little bit. It was a better effort, but I can't make up my mind. I was leaning Utah earlier in the show.
Root for seven.
Yeah. We'll do that.
Yeah.
We'll all root for seven. And then a week from today, we can have roundtables galore about the Western Conference Finals beginning on Tuesday.
Yeah, I like it.
Sounds good to me.
All right.
Sounds good to me.
All right, guys. Have a great show. Dave Burns, John Gambadoro coming up 2-6 today. Thanks to our guests. Eddie Johnson, George Carl for joining us. Thanks to all the callers we had today, and thanks for hanging out with us. We'll do it again tomorrow at 10. Burns and Gambo up next here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.